Well, again, if you want to turn to Exodus chapter 3, we have been going through the book of Exodus. One of the main characters in the book of Exodus is, of course, Moses. And Moses' life can be divided up into three lots of 40. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in Midian, and 40 years in the wilderness leading the Israelites. Moses actually lived for 120 years. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, the Bible says Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigour diminished. He was a healthy man when he died at 120 years old. Not only was he healthy, but Moses was also a man of faith. And the faith of Moses is mentioned three times in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:24 says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned." It's quite clear from Hebrews chapter 11 that Moses' faith caused him to do a number of things. Hebrews 11:24, we see that Moses renounced his position in Egypt. Hebrews 11:25, we see that Moses renounced the pleasures of Egypt. Hebrews 11:26, Moses renounced the possessions of Egypt. Imagine all the rights that Moses had being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses had the world at his feet. He had power, prestige, and possessions. Yet he renounces them all. There was a day when Moses made a decision to turn his back on what Egypt offered because he loved God more than he loved the world. There's a lesson for us in the life of Moses. When John wrote to the early church, he said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever." Now one day Moses is in the desert, and he gets a call from God to go on a mission, a rescue mission. God had heard the cries of his people, the Israelites, down there in Egypt. And God was going to use Moses in delivering them from the bondage that they were in under Pharaoh. Moses had lived in the lap of luxury in the Egyptian palace. Imagine his life. He'd walked in fine clothes. He'd received the best of Egyptian education. He lived in a beautiful green valley, the Nile River Valley. It yielded the food that was fit for kings. He had all the luxuries that his time could offer. He had honour and he had respect as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. And now, when God calls him, he's a nobody living in a desert, tending sheep. And he'd been doing that for 40 years. How did he get there? Well, in Egypt, Moses defended an Israelite, and he'd made a bad mistake. In defending the Israelite, he'd killed an Egyptian, and he was forced to flee from the Pharaoh into the land of Midian, where he became a shepherd. And let's just think about Moses' call for a minute. He's now 80 years of age when God calls him into the rescue business. Now, there's a lesson here from Moses and from his life. If you're a Christian, God has a call on your life no matter what age you are. I would say there's a number of you here that are between 70 and 80, though most of you look in your late 40s. God had a call on Moses' life. And remember, he's 80 years of age. And I need to say that God's got a call on our life no matter what age you are. While you are alive, God calls you to mission. God calls you to holiness. God calls you to himself. God calls you to look out and see those that are trapped in bondage, those that need to know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. God had been working all through Moses' life for Moses' good and God's glory. And God was even going to use the mistakes that Moses has made as preparation for the service that God was going to call him into. Before Stephen was stoned, he talked about the life of Moses. In Acts 7, verse 30, he says, "And when 40 years had passed," he's talking about Moses here, "and when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, 'Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt.'" Exodus 3 verse 10 talks about the Lord's call. And the Lord says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So God gives Moses the plan, but Moses gives God the problems. Exodus 3 verse 11. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" Now you might say that Moses is in semi-retirement at 80 years of age. He left behind the status of Egypt for the sheep of Midian. And for Moses, God's plan for the next phase of his life was full of problems. Moses had a missionary call from God, but Moses thought that the mission was impossible. You know, we've all got a missionary call from God, whatever age you are. While you're still alive, while your heart is still ticking, you need to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. You need to realise that you are on mission for him. There's a temptation for people in Australia when they get to the age of Moses, or actually before that, when they get to the age of 65, there is a temptation of retirement. There's a temptation to just retire at 65 and just to live it up and take it easy. For some Australians, and also including Christians, retirement means endless holidays or even endless games of golf. Now, do you know what golf stands for? Golden opportunities lost forever. Now please, if you're a golfer, let me clarify what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with golf, but if golf has got your devotion instead of God, then there is something wrong. For numbers of older Australians, their idol can be the golf course, or the bowling green, or the tennis club. There are people today in Australia, and sadly there are some Christians amongst them, that never bother to hear God's word preached on a Sunday because all their Sundays are spent worshipping at the altar of their sport or their hobby. It's sad that there are believers today that don't go to church, but they have a devotion to their hobby or to their sport. Every Christian is called to a mission. And that mission is to love God, love our neighbour, and to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day, no matter what age you are, you should be conscious that you are to be on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are building for eternity. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, each of us here are building for eternity. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, it indicates that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness. And they're going to be real rewards. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward." You and I are building for eternity. We are sending up treasures. It's not to be treasures on earth, but we are to send up treasures in heaven. And those treasures will be related to our faithfulness as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Here is Moses, he's 80 years of age, and he's called to the biggest task he had ever undertaken, and that was to move a couple of million people away from the clutches of Pharaoh. God had a mission for Moses right up to the very end, and every Christian has a missionary call on their lives until they pass from this world. Moses was to rescue his people. Moses was to guide his people. Moses was to intercede for his people in prayer. And Moses was to give his people the word of God. The greatest chapter of Moses' life began at the age of 80. All of us are called to mission. And all of us have a similar call to Moses' call. Moses was called on a rescue mission, and you and I are to be conscious of the fact that we are on a rescue mission. We are called to go down to the world of humanity, humanity that is trapped in the bondage of sin and sadness and death, and we are called to go, equipped by the hand of God, to set the captives free. Moses was going to be God's instrument to guide his people through the wilderness. And we are to be used today as God's people to guide the lost through the wilderness and ultimately to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was called to intercede for others. We are called to intercede for others. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." 1 Timothy 2 verse 8. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So Moses is called on a rescue mission, but he's also called to intercede for others, and so are we. Moses was called to give the people of God God's word. We are called to give the people of God God's word and also the lost. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." When Moses got the call from God, he felt totally inadequate for the task. And that can be the way that we feel as well. Called to mission, we might feel totally inadequate. Exodus 3 verse 11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" What did God say to that question? Moses said, "Who am I?" God says this, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Moses felt inadequate. God promises that he was going to be with him on his mission. Jesus did that with the disciples. Jesus did that in the Great Commission. He asked them to teach them to observe all things. They were to teach all the nations. And the Lord Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." We are not on mission alone. Moses was not to be on his own. God was going to be with him. Look at verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3. "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you.'" God revealed to Moses his name, I am. Moses was talking to the self-existent God, the only God that had always existed. The God he was face to face with was the eternal God, the eternal I am. Not only did God reveal his name, he revealed his plan for Moses and his people. Verse 16. "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey.'" God planned that he would bring his people from Egypt to Canaan, and God gave Moses that promise. When you read the passage further on, Moses is still doubting God, so God gives Moses some signs. Exodus 4 verse 1. "Then Moses answered and said, 'But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice? Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you?' So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Moses had a shepherd's rod in his hand. Possibly it might have been an ugly rod made out of some sort of tree. I read a few commentators about this. They said it might have been an almond tree, like an almond branch. We don't really know. But Moses throws this dead piece of wood down and it comes alive. The rod represented Moses' identity. Shepherds carried rods. So the rod represented the fact that he was now a shepherd. But God used the shepherd's rod once he gave it up, and God transformed that rod into a serpent. When Moses surrendered his rod to God, a miracle took place. What's in your hands? That's what God asked Moses. And that's a good question to ask ourselves. What's in your hands that God might do a miracle with? You might say, what's in my hand? Well, I've got a bit of an education. Can you use that for God's glory? Can he take your education and do a miracle with it to reach other people for the Lord Jesus Christ? What's in your hands? You might say, I've got car keys in my hand. Could you use your car for God's glory? Could you pick up someone for church? Is that what's in your hand? Is that what God is asking you to do? What's in your hand today? What's in your hand? And some of you ladies might say, I'm good at cooking. Could you use your cooking on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ? What's in your hands? What's in your hand was the question that God asked Moses. What's in your hands? I've got a telephone. Could you use your telephone to ring someone up from the church that you know that no longer comes just to encourage them and ask them how they're going? Could you use your telephone on mission for God's glory to build up the brothers and sisters in Christ that no longer can attend? What's in your hand? Oh, I've got a bit of a voice. Can you use your voice for God's glory? Moses surrendered something that was very common. It was just a shepherd's crook. And when he laid it down, God did a miracle with that. And when you trace the miracle of the rod, there was a time where Moses stood before the Red Sea and he held out the shepherd's rod and God did a miracle of deliverance of thousands of people. What's in your hand that God can use for his glory? When the Christian surrenders his or her talents to God, they can become a miracle. When a Christian surrenders their career to God, that career can become a miracle to reach other people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's in your hand? I've got a teapot. Good. Make a cup of tea to bring someone to the Lord Jesus. Use what's in your hand, something common, for God's glory and the good of others. You know, before we surrender whatever we've got to surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thousands of years ago, God called a shepherd that was on the verge of retirement to mission. And God made him a successful missionary in delivering millions of people from bondage. What's in your hands? We are called to mission, not just to retirement. You know, the ultimate example of the one that surrendered himself to mission is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." The Lord Jesus became the greatest missionary that ever existed. He yielded his life to God the Father, and God did a miraculous work of delivering millions and millions and millions of people from the bondage of Satan and sin, because Christ went to the cross, he shed his blood, he died on Calvary for the sins of the world. That mission still continues, and we're a part of it.